Breakfast with Benz podcast, Tim Benz and Brian Metzer. After the latest Penguins loss, this time to the Ottawa Senators. Final score 2-1 on Monday night at PPG Paints Arena. The Penguins outshoot the Senators, largely outplay the Senators, but at the end of the game, it was a narrow margin in favor of Ottawa because of the inability for the Penguins to clear the zone on the power play. Brian Rust blocks a shot. He's on the PK. He can't get the puck out of the zone. And as a result, the Senators score the game-winning goal. And the Penguins have now lost four in a row and have fallen out of a playoff spot. Metz, you can hear him each and every broadcast on the Pittsburgh Penguins radio network. Brian Metzer can be heard during the intermissions, during postgame, during Pens Live Weekly on Saturdays. Metz, this has become quite the conundrum for the Penguins when it looked like they had righted the ship to the point where you could at least feel good about their playoff chances coming down the home stretch. They've managed to fritter away any of that momentum and positioning, and now here they are on the outside looking in.
Yeah, a lot can happen in just a couple of weeks, right, Tim? I mean, when you look at this scenario, not only have they lost four in a row, but they've only won three of their last, nine, I think. So, I mean, that's not very good when they had that little stretch of 7-1-1. It's funny how those streaks can be flipped quickly the other way, and that's what happened here. And a lot of it is due to lack of awareness in the defensive zone, some shoddy goaltending, and then even when they get an outstanding goaltending performance, they kind of leave their goaltender hanging because they've only been able to score seven goals in their last four games, which to me is just a head-scratcher because they are getting a ton of shots. However, you're not really making the life of the goaltender all that difficult. Yes, there were some grade-A chances. The Penguins had a number of really quality grade-A-type high-danger chances last night in the game, but they weren't the kind where you get traffic and you get second and third chances and you take away the goaltender's eyes and make him really work for it. I would say the toughest save of the night probably came in the first period when the kid had to come across and make a great leg save on Jake Guentzel on a one-timer on a power play.
Mets, as I look at the forecast here for the Pens, they've got two tough games coming up against the Avs and against the Dallas Stars, playoff teams in the West. Florida, the team that just caught them and passed them for the last playoff spot, not only are they red hot right now, but they've also got some pretty easy competition. Although I will say this, they do have two tough home games against the Rangers and Leafs, and then they go on the road for a good batch there. I think over the next seven games, the Panthers play away from Florida five times, or at least away from Miami five times, and the two home games are tough. They've been up and down just like the Penguins have been. But I feel like they're on the ascent, whereas the Penguins, to say that they are spiraling right now might be an understatement.
Yeah, I would say you're right about that, Tim. I mean, the Penguins, for all of their good, which you can still point to Sid and Gino having great offensive years for their age and kind of trying to will the team to victory on most nights, but they're not getting the defense that they need. Their goaltending, like I said, has been really asunder. It's been a really tough spot for them all. And when you look at a team like Florida, they have really turned things around for themselves. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've won three in a row. And when they are winning these games, they're doing it in pretty effective fashion. Yeah, they let up five goals to the Montreal Canadiens, who are really upstart at this point. I mean, they beat the Penguins recently, but the Panthers did nothing but go out and score nine against them in that game. And then they've scored nine combined goals in their last two wins against the New Jersey Devils and the Detroit Red Wings. So they're finding their offensive game finally. Sergei Bobrovsky is playing pretty effectively for them on the backside of it. And I think that as they get healthier, Sam Bennett missed some time. He's back in the lineup now. He's a very important player for them. Tkachuk is just all world for them, doing so much good work in terms of getting to the front of the net, scoring the dirty goals when they need them. So it's all kind of coming up roses at this point for the Florida Panthers, and that's why they are in the playoffs and the Penguins are not. And I heard a couple people write off the Senators. They're only six total points out of the wild card. I don't really have visions of them jumping up into the conversation, but if they can get goaltending, I think they could have a chance because that's been their biggest undoing. If you go back to the trade deadline, a lot of the Canadian journalists on the Trade Center show for TSN, and I may have mentioned this to you the other week, they were anointing them the team of destiny. They felt like Ottawa getting Jacob Chychrun and getting all those young goal scorers and all this pretty quality play coming from them was going to be a team that could jump into the playoff hunt And unfortunately, Cam Talbot got hurt again, so that kind of derailed them. But the teams around the Penguins are not cooling off. The Islanders are doing their job, 6-3-1, and Florida we just talked about. So Penguins have got to find a way to win. We looked at it, I think, Tim, on February 26th, and to get to roughly 96 points, which we were thinking might be the number to make the playoffs in the East, the Penguins were going to have to play 600 hockey. Well, they're barely a 500 team since then. They're essentially 5-5-1, if I'm not mistaken. And they're, for the season, just doing a point percentage click of 5-5-7. That's not good enough, and it's going to be tough to make the playoffs if they continue on this road.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, is our guest. To the point about Sid and Gino, they have had good years, but at the same time, they're not scoring right now. I think Sid's in a slump of five games, and Gino's had, what, one goal in March?
I think you're right about that. It's been
Gino's
really tough
getting
road.
Points, but it's, you know, not goal production. And the last couple of games, they've needed some.
Yeah. Those guys, and the shame of it is, that's the problem. I think one of the biggest problems with this team, Tim, is you don't have anybody to offset those many slumps for them. When they run into these situations where you go four or five games without a goal, or even more in the case of Gino, there's nobody in the bottom six cashing in right now. Because even when they are getting goals, it's still Ricard Raquel. It's maybe Brian Rust from time to time. Or it's, you know, a Jason Zucker cashing in. It's not the likes of Jeff Carter, Mikhail Granlund. Because the goal Granlund scored last week was a meaningless after an empty netter against the Florida Panthers. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers. So they're not getting secondary scoring at all. They can't stop people from scoring. And even when they do hold a team in check like they did last night, they still can't outscore a 2-1 deficit. So, I mean, it doesn't speak to me as a team that has a very bright outlook with 12 games remaining in the season. This has got to be not the last year of Mike Johnston, I think, is the last time they were in this situation where they needed a win on the final night of the season, Tim, to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
but other
Florida
than that,
had the 2-0 shutout against the Sabres.
Yeah, and I really can't think of who was. I think it was Anders Lindbäck in net for the Sabres that night too, and he was playing outstanding hockey. I just can't see a situation. And Brandon Sutter scored both goals too, if I'm not mistaken. But I can't see a situation where, with 12 games left, based on what we're seeing, that they're going to be in that situation. And even if they do squeak in, your reward is probably the Boston Bruins. And boy, isn't that a treat!
Also, we got to talk about the Pettersson loss and what that does to the blue line.
My gosh. Just looking at this past week in terms of the blue line, I mean, you were feeling better about it after the deadline, Tim, when they brought in Dmitry Kulikov, and then he goes out. Then Petrie goes out. Then you have a situation now where the Dragon goes out, Marcus Pettersson. So all of these guys being out of the lineup have forced you to now use Fadoon, Rewedel, Friedman, POJ playing probably more minutes than he should be. And so your top defensemen become Brian Dumoulin and Chris Letang, which 5 years ago would be great. Right now, it's not a good spot to be in. And when you're icing a largely AHL blue line, it doesn't put you in a good spot. And overall, though, we can't be super critical, because against the Senators, I thought that group looked decent, even though they still gave up far too many odd man rushes and breakaways. But I think losing Marcus Pettersson may have been the final straw here, because he has had probably, in terms of their blue line, one of the best seasons that you could have envisioned from one of those guys. He really stepped up. I think he was chipping in offensively. He was not really exposing himself defensively as he had at times in the past, where he had baby deer leg syndrome, where sometimes you'd see him in front of the net and he'd just lose his footing and go down, and they would score a goal against last season. That hasn't happened often this year. I thought he was pretty darn good. And taking him out of the mix now is just a killer. I mean, you can't even have the cap space truly, or the call-up availability. I think they only have two call-ups available to them, because after the trade deadline, you only have a finite amount of moves you're allowed to make. So they're in a spot where they have to rely on emergency recalls. Ty Smith is down there with facial fractures. He can't come up because he's hurt. You have to call up guys like Taylor Fadoon and Mark Friedman. And I just don't think those guys are primed and ready for the NHL, Tim. So this is a really, really bad situation for the Penguins in terms of their blue line, and stir in all the other issues that they have. It's not a fun situation to be in with 12 games remaining in the season.
And that's how many the Panthers have too, by the way. Who's more likely to fade, the Panthers or the Islanders?
Oh boy, you know what? At this point, it's hard to even say. I mean, they both have kind of turned themselves around to the extent of finding their post-trade deadline game. I mean, the Islanders started to show signs that they were going to be decent after they acquired Bo Horvat, and they still were struggling a little bit. But when you see them now, I mean, we mentioned it, they're 6-3-1 in their last 10. They won two in a row. They're starting to score a little bit. They have a plus 12 goal differential now. Florida has these games where they're putting up 18 goals in a three-game stretch. So if their offense continues to perform like that, I think Bobrovsky alone could be enough to help you offset to just get into the playoffs. So the Penguins surprisingly have dropped to a minus 4 goal differential, which was a little bit of a shocking thing to see over the last week here.
Well, they were the only team in the NHL playoff bracket with the minus goal differential. They also had the fewest wins in regulation of any team that had been in a bracket position.
Yeah, and that's all things that are indictments of them, you know. So even if those teams slip a little bit, because both Florida and the Islanders, Tim, let the Penguins off the hook a lot this season with their dips. Whenever they would not play well and lose some hockey games, the Penguins took full advantage and kept themselves above water. But here, I mean, I just don't see it happening again. I mean, they might start to fall a little bit, but if the Penguins hover around this 500 mark that they have been over the last week, 2 weeks, I just don't really think that it's gonna work out for them. And it's very hard to be an optimist about them making the playoffs at this point based on what we've seen. Because when they've had these stretches where they drop four in a row this season, it doesn't often get stopped. They did stop a four-game losing streak when they got embarrassed by Edmonton. That was the fourth of a four-gamer and 5 out of 6. They turned it around with a win against St. Louis. Well, here, you don't have St. Louis waiting in the wings. You have the Colorado Avalanche sitting there along with the Dallas Stars. So it's not like you have a patsy on the schedule in front of them. And these tend to turn into situations where they drop 5, 6, or 7 of 8, 7 of 9, that kind of thing. And if they continue this stretch and drop, you know, 2 of 3 this week, and truthfully, the Capitals may want to put a dagger in them on Saturday as well, Tim. So this could be a really tough spot. By week's end, they might be, you know, a few points removed from the wild card rather than sitting there on the cusp just one or so out.
And I don't think this is the kind of team that makes up ground in a hurry and eats up points when they're available. They've shown the propensity to gobble up a few and then puke them back up again. And I wrote earlier in the week that their poor play against the division has been emblematic of this Mets because, you know, if you look at it, largely there's good teams in the Metro. And if you look at what their record is, I think they only have like 2 wins or 3 wins against teams that are above them in the Metro, and that's what's going to keep them out of the playoffs eventually.
Yeah, they've struggled a lot this year, Tim, in terms of games against good teams in general. They just can't beat them.
Yeah,
you know?
the four teams in front of them, you know, there's something like 8, 9, and 5, I believe, in the Metro, but only of the, 2 of those wins, I believe, are against the Islanders, Devils, Rangers, and Hurricanes.
Yeah, you're right. The Metro record is 8, 9, and 5, and it's just they don't beat the good teams. And even if you count good teams that aren't in their division, they don't typically beat them, Tim. I mean, this has been a really bad year in that way, that the Penguins feasted on teams behind them, did not do so good against teams ahead of them. We looked at the numbers for that a few weeks ago, so they're not accurate now, but they were rather damning when you looked at that situation. And I think when you look at their schedule, they don't have enough bad teams on it to make a difference now, because you have Colorado and Dallas that are right there in the top class of the National Hockey League. Then, okay, you have a game against Wash, a game against Detroit. Nashville's kind of a tweener. They've played pretty well since they've made some changes, but then it's Boston. Philly's there, probably a win, but then you have the Devils and Minnesota. So, I mean, just with the 5 or 6 games that you have against top teams in the league, you could be in a tough spot. However, the schedule maker was nice enough to put Detroit, Chicago, and Columbus in their final 3. So that could, on paper, be 6 points, and 6 points could be a difference maker. I just think it's going to be too little too late at that point after you have to go up against those world-burning teams. And if they don't make hay and get a win or 2 or 3 against those top teams and maybe even go out and beat Boston, you could be in a really ugly spot here. So I think it just speaks to where they have been all season long. They have given up the most goals that they ever have under Mike Sullivan this season, which has been something that was an eyebrow raiser for me. They're well over three goals a game against. They're allowing the second most shots that they've ever allowed under Mike Sullivan in his tenure in Pittsburgh. So the defense isn't up to snuff. It's even less up to snuff now with these AHL faces being in the mix. And they, even on a night whenever they only give up 21 shots, of those 21 shots, I would say, I think they had six high danger chances last night, and Mike Pursuit is somewhere rolling his eyes that I pointed that out because it's not his standard that we're using. We're using natural stat trick. And the scoring chances, I think, were 12 of those 18 or 21 shots. So when you look at that, that is not a lot of shots against, but you're asking your goaltending to do an awful lot, and it's more than they're capable of doing at this point, Tim. So all of that together makes for a really an elixir of ugliness for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Elixir of ugliness sounds like a good album that we should see from a band at Sonic Temple if this goes the wrong way for the Penguins.
I think you're right. I'd buy that album.
I'd buy that drink.
Let's have an elixir of ugliness along while we watch and listen to Elixir of Ugliness on the side stage.
Mets, thanks. I appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, my friend. Thanks for this. I appreciate it as always.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network.